What's up, guys? Welcome to this episode of Big Red Banter Specialty Sports Show on WVBR 93.5 FM. I am Skyler Holzman, Sports Director for WVBR, and I am here as usual. We are returning to radio, if you're listening on the radio. We are returning to radio with my guys, Jake Richards and Mike Seitz, who are back with us after a hiatus from the studio. We're doing this on Zoom, but we are airing on the radio. Very exciting. What is up, guys? How's it going?
Oh, man. Do you know what month it is, Skyler? Skyler, it's October.
No clue. I have no clue, and I don't care.
No clue. Skyler, this is Jake Richards here, and I am so, so ready to talk some October baseball. This is the greatest month of the year, no doubt. And I'll turn it over to Mike here to give us this little intro.
Thanks, Jake. Yeah, it's good to be back. My question for this week is, what are you guys dressing up as for Halloween? If anything.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good question.
That's a great question. I have no clue. I had a habit in the past of just like saying really abstract things while dressing totally normally. You know what I mean? like I don't know, like I could just wear like I'll just wear like a sweatshirt and just jeans, and then I'll be like, yeah, I'm like guy that's craving Gushers from 7-Eleven. Or something, just something completely arbitrary. So that's how I treated Halloween. I don't know, what about you guys?
So you're the story costume kind of guy. You're like, oh, nice costume. Oh, well, actually, no, I'm kidding. But
you're right.
My fallback, which is probably what's gonna end up happening this year, because I am home and I'm not even sure what I'm gonna do for Halloween this year. But I used to ref soccer games in high school, and the uniform still fits. I still have my my red card and my yellow card and my assistant referee flag. It's not a bad thing. The shorts are a little tiny now, but hey, that's the new look, right? Got to show off what I've been doing during leg day, because, we're all 6'8", 280. Got to get that in there.
So, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's my backup. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, in years past, it's been Tony the Tiger. Quick shout out to our sponsor, Frosted Flakes. I was an ice cream man the other year, so sticking with food, but maybe we'll switch it up.
Hey, the food costumes are always a hit, because people are like, oh, man, I'm hungry now.
I feel like you can't go wrong, because people will respect you. If you're dressed up like a banana, like, people will immediately respect you, and that's just how the world works. You've been, like, conditioned in society to respect people who dress up as, like, a fruit or a vegetable or something. I don't know. I've never seen a vegetable costume, but if you did, I would respect you.
Wow. You're dressing up as the thing I turned down and didn't want to eat on my plate as a child. Bold move. Respect.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the only context in which I can respect like broccoli, because otherwise I will not consume it.
Yeah.
So that's very valid.
I guess this is as good a time as any transition into
sports.
This
is a perfect transition. Speaking of broccoli, the MLB playoffs are going on right now.
So
Jake, what's happening at MLB right now?
October baseball is the best baseball. Everybody's like, oh, I love September baseball, but it only gets greater in October with the MLB postseason. In the division series games in the NLDS, we had the Braves and the Marlins, and the Braves swept the Marlins. This is the Miami Marlins' first postseason series loss ever,
which is weird, considering like people, most people don't remember that they have ever made the playoffs, considering how much they've sucked for the last like decade.
Well, they broke a record this year. They are the first team in Major League Baseball history to make the playoffs a season after losing over 100 games. So shout out to the Fish. They really stepped up with the COVID outbreak. I believe Don Mattingly is a very big front runner for manager of the year, getting through, persevering with his team. It was a great series to watch. There was a little bit of drama with Acuña. Acuña and the Marlins have a little bit of a history going all the way back to like 2018. Right. He's been hit by a couple pitches with some obvious intent, some maybe not. He's hit some dingers. He's home. He's, bat flipped. I have no problem with bat flip, especially because he's only doing it to, pump up his teammates. That's the whole point of bat flips.
Honestly, just a quick interjection.
Go.
The bat flip game during the playoffs has been absolute fire. I don't know if you've seen
any
compilations on Instagram. It is insane. It is insane. Yeah. It feels like anyone, like, it doesn't matter. Like, players will be up, like, they'll be up like 15 runs and they'll still bat flip.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Well, the idea, so I love bat flips because I think it's a awesome way for the kids of the game to just express themselves and motivate their dugout and rally. So yeah, that, you know, there's a whole argument about that let the kids play thing. Yeah. I think we all know our stances on it, but so the Braves set the Marlins. This Braves team is headed to the NLCS and they're a good team. They have been undefeated in the playoffs so far. And this Braves team will face the powerhouse team of the LA Dodgers. This team was the best, had the best record in baseball last year, and then added one of the best players in baseball in Mookie Betts. These guys won the NLDS against the Padres. Padres, very exciting team. There's a little bit of drama there. We'll get into that. But when the Dodgers won and advanced the NLCS, it was almost like, yeah, you know, we won. I feel like this is a world, like everybody on that team has a World Series or bust mentality. Yeah. And it's kind of hard to not with this team. They're ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, this is we're recording this on like Friday, and yeah, like the Dodgers advancing to the NLCS is literally just like Thursday for them. Like that's it. It just happens. That just happens.
You know? Yeah. This team is a great team. This is a generational team. I understand that people write it off because like they were expected to be this good. Watch this team, guys. And the Padres were the second best record in the National League. They were a little hindered with some pitching injuries, but the fact that the Dodgers swept the team that is as electric as the Padres is crazy. There's a little bit of drama there too. Tatis hit a deep ball to center field. Cody Bellinger robbed him of a home run, which was a great play to have. It was a great
play.
Pure athleticism. Cody Bellinger, the reigning MVP of the National League. And then there was a little bit of drama because the pitcher on the mound, who was Bruiser Gratterall, we've talked about his trade on the show, throws absolute filth. Like in celebration of his center fielder bailing him out of that inning, it would have been a go-ahead home run, by the way. He threw his glove. He, threw his hat and he did the whole, like, you know, I don't know if it's like a praise the Lord thing, but he like thanked the baseball gods and, you know, he got excited, which was awesome. Let the kids play applies to pitchers. And even though it was like just one out, that's a big out. And, you know, this is your first postseason. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
So 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, cause like before we go into to the Astros, which is like a lot to process, I think the Padres had a pitcher who was making his, I think it was an MLB debut, but I think it was playoff debut, right, at 20 years old.
I can't remember his name. Oh no.
Yeah, we'll have to we'll,
this
we'll
young pitcher made his MLB debut at 20 years old,
never having pitched above A ball, class A ball, and still made his debut, which is really like, I always go through this personally as just like someone who is 20 and is not pitching professionally in the playoffs for some reason. I don't know why, but that's just how things worked out, I guess. But it's like, it's such a surreal thing to see someone like your age on the mound pitching like on the biggest stage. I mean, like, how do you guys
throwing like, gas?
Yeah, exactly. Throwing what, 97, 98?
It's absolutely like, the game of baseball is so young and so electric. I remember a commentator, I think it might have been Don Orsillo, talking about this, but the game is so crazy now where, you know, a guy making his debut, if you're a hitter facing this guy, you've never seen, there's almost no scouting report on this guy. And then half the time, this person you've never heard of before, maybe a highly touted prospect or something, is up there throwing triple digit gas, and you as a hitter are like, how am I supposed to, like, I don't even know your name yet, man. How are you doing this? This is, the game is crazy. This is,
dude,
I mean,
he can't even drink legally.
Yeah, and you're throwing triple digits. That has to be illegal.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but it's always insane. It's kind of like how I feel like I felt with like Zion Williamson coming to the league at what, like being drafted. He was what, 19 or something when he was drafted.
Oh my gosh. Yeah
I kind of hate it, but it's more out of jealousy than an envy than anything else. I fully respect these guys. Like I respect them more than people dressed in like banana suits on Halloween, like straight up. But yeah,
moving on, I guess, to the ALDS. No, you make a good point. These players deserve a lot of respect. It's ridiculous. But moving on to the ALDS, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Astros are moving on to the ALCS. They beat Oakland in four games. This team was under 500 for the regular season. And due to injuries, you know, there was a legitimate reason why. I never doubted that some of these players are good players despite the cheating scandal. But this team is showing up in the postseason. And it's, I understand the idea of playing and winning when people don't want you to. I understand that as a motivational factor, but oh my gosh, can this team just lose? I don't want Astros fans. I personally do not believe that Astros fans deserve to be celebrating right now. I remember when this whole cheating scandal broke out and I was like, I don't think they should be allowed in the playoffs for a year. And that's a bit extreme. That was a bit extreme, but here they are celebrating. And it's not like out of jealousy, you know, like I have a team that's in the playoffs and playing very well. And if we win or lose tonight, we'll talk about that series. But if we win or lose tonight, it was a great series. I'm very glad with this team. I'm very happy with what we did, but I just, it stings extra. And Astros fans, hate me all you want for this, but like, you guys have good players, but it's almost like you have such good players. Why did you have to cheat? Like, you shouldn't have cheated. It hurts double.
This is just proof. This is like sad, pathetic proof that like they did not need to cheat, because in theory they're not cheating now, and they're still like really good.
They
team.
Are raking. Carlos Correa, love him or hate him, is absolutely on fire right now. It's
raking.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that entire team is hitting. Their pitching is showing up despite losing Cole in free agency and despite a hurt Justin Verlander.
Yeah,
what
no,
is going
no
on?
Either I don't know.
Well, Greinke yeah. pitched last night. Greinke with some injury problems. So he's had
right
some...
because he gave up that. sorry, I don't know why I was like no Greinke. Yeah, I think I'm just forgetting him because he made such a dumb like.
Yeah. He like he gave a little. He's been known to sort of like tip pitches. Like actually, like I don't think this is as dramatic.
Yeah.
I think he's just trying to get the sign. And I think that like, yeah, showing a batter two fingers is some form of information, but like showing a batter two fingers doesn't really
mean
anything.
They interviewed after the game and he was like, yeah, no, I didn't tip my pitch. Cause he like, yeah, he would like jokingly tell the batter like what pitch he was going to throw. And then he would actually throw it. And honestly, it's been working for him. And he made some sort of signal, right, with like two fingers yesterday, but I don't think it was actually, I think it was just getting the signs down with his catcher.
It's just communication. It's communication that's like might give the batter an advantage because now they have an idea of what a sign is. You know, they have more information to work with, but it's not as dramatic as some people are saying.
Well, yeah, the only reason like people overreacted was because Ramon Laureano on the next pitch after he gave that like those two
hit a home run.
Catcher, hit a home run.
Yeah.
which is pretty sick, which was honestly pretty sick. And it was cool because Ramon Laureano is not known for hitting. He's just known for fielding. And he literally was not famous at all until he made that ridiculous double play where he robbed a home run. Or no, he ran down a ball in the gap and he threw like a 300-foot perfect strike.
He's got
first base to double off someone. It's insane.
Yeah, that was nuts.
But ultimately, yeah, Astros are moving on, and you know, it'd be nice to see them get absolutely dominated by whichever team makes it to the next round, which we'll go into in a second. Or if they make it to the World Series, like God forbid, that they get absolutely crushed and just demoralized for the next like 7 years.
Astros Dodgers World Series. I don't even want to talk about it, but
that would make sense this year.
That would be,
like,
yeah, 2020. Why not? Right. but we do want to talk about the other ALDS, Mike. I don't know. As a fellow Yankees fan, I don't know if you've seen these games, but hop in whenever.
Grand slams, man, but the Rays have been tough, man. I know, but there's been a fair share of firepower on the Yankee side, but in terms of wins, it doesn't always work out when you're playing such a tough team.
This Rays team is so good. They won 40 games in the regular season out of 60, and in a division with the New York Yankees, despite having injury problems. Like, this Rays team is no joke. There is going to be a game 5 after the Yankees going down in the series 2-1. We won last night, evened up the series at 2 games apiece. So now we are going to a game 5 tonight. And Gerrit Cole on short rest will be pitching against Kyler Glasnow on short rest.
Yeah.
Former teammates, by the way. They were both on the Pirates together.
Right. Man, the Pirates, I mean, they do not get enough credit for totally screwing everything up.
Yeah,
oh,
having terrible trades.
What a terrible, dumb team. Just stupid,
poor Pirates.
Stupid managerial move.
Poor Pirates, but
yeah.
It's so some amazing performances have come from this ALDS. I forgot to write this in the show notes, but Randy Arozarena of the Rays had, like, I believe a 560 batting average in the postseason up until yesterday, where he went 0-for-4.
So, I
remember, like, he came up every time he came up to the plate. I was like, pitch around this guy. He's unbelievable. He's on fire. If he gets like a single, it's like, really? That's it? Absolutely crazy. He was locked in as can be. Randy Arozarena has been something to watch out for all across baseball. Every team needs to be watching out for him. But Giancarlo Stanton, Yankee fans wrote him off. I can't believe I'm having this conversation. Remember when Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 home runs from the Marlins? He was locked in then. He's locked in now. Last night was the first night he hasn't hit a home run in six games. He hit – or five games. Yeah, no, six games. So prior to that, he hit six home runs in five games, including a grand slam. Giancarlo Stanton – and also he hit like a 458-foot bomb at Petco Park.
Yeah, that was insane.
This dude is locked.
Scary. He is scary power.
He's ridiculous. I always look, even when Stan had his struggles at the plate and had struggles with injuries, I was always like, Giancarlo Stanton is always good for one thing, and that is punishing bad pitches and pitching mistakes.
Yep.
So imagine what happens when he's locked in. He hits good pitches and he hits them hard. He hits them so hard. So Giancarlo Stanton is really showing up. Luke Voit had a homer last night. First home run of the postseason, the regular season home run champ. This Yankees team is a great team. Cole on the mound. Luke Voit was on the mic yesterday saying, hey, I want him to take the mound. That's why we gave him all that money. This guy, this is going to be a great game tonight. And I hope the Yankees win. And I really hope that we face the Astros in the ALCS and absolutely humiliate them. That would be just poetic justice as a Yankees fan. So I think that's it for me baseball.
I will say it's interesting because by the time this is released and airs, the game will have been played. So our speculation is going to be for moot. Right, but if we can do predictions now to see who we think is going to win, who do you guys think is taking it? What do you think the score is going to be? How is it going to turn out? Real quick. I'll go real quick.
Yeah, I'm still thinking. Go for it.
Yeah, I think I have, sadly, because I'm a Mets fan, I have confidence in the Yankees. I have confidence in the fact that if you start a pitcher on 2 days rest, he is going to be tired, because there's only one Madison Bumgarner in, what, like 2014. That only happens once.
Yeah,
when
much.
He just pitched back-to-back days and, like, win the World Series. So I think the Yankees are going to take it. I think final score 5-2. I think Glasnow is going to give up four runs in four innings, and they're going to take him out. And it's going to be because he's going to make like one mistake on a pitch. I think he's probably going to give up like a 2 or 3 run homer, and they're going to be like, that's it. We need to like stop the damage. So they're going to take him out. I think Gerrit Cole is going to go probably 5 just to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get, you guys are not need to be this detailed, but I think he's going to go 5 and probably give up those 2 runs. And I think the Yankees bullpen is going to lock it down. So I'm taking the Yankees 5-2.
I don't know. I think this is going to be such a pitching duel because, oh man, put it this way. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to call it, but I will say this. I think whatever starting pitcher has the better performance, and if that performance leads to a win, I think that pitcher deserves the series MVP. I think that's all I want to say about it. Mike, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I'm biased, but I think the Yankees are going to win 6-4, and I think it's going to go pretty late. I could even see an extra innings with relief pitchers coming in the clutch, and we'll see.
Ooh, okay. I would love to see extra innings. That'd be exciting.
That would be exciting.
Cool. All right, so that is that's MLB coverage. That's the division series, the ALCS and NLCS about to start. And with that, let's talk a little bit about the NFL. And two words that usually you do not really right out next to each other, Brady nightmare. So it's exciting because we're recording this Friday morning, so we are, you know, I think one of the first people to cover what happened last night in the Buccaneers Bears game, but the Bears won, which no one thought was possible.
Yeah,
I agree. I did not think that was gonna happen. I thought they were gonna get crushed, especially given the fact that Brady, I think, threw for 4 or 5 touchdowns last game. So basically, the end of the game, for those who didn't see it, Brady had about a minute and 13 seconds, I believe, from their own 25, down one, 20-19, to drive them into field goal range. And he got a first down, I think, but it ended up being fourth down, right? They had fourth down and five from their own like 40 or so. And they just needed a first down. They still had like about 40 seconds left. They needed a first down. Tom Brady rushed the play, threw a long pass, which would almost have put them in field goal range if it had been caught, but it was not a well-placed pass. He got blocked by the defender, game ended. And then Brady was left standing there holding up four fingers, seemingly thinking that that last play was third down and not fourth.
Oh, Brady.
But it actually was fourth down, and that's how they lost. So, absolute nightmare. And I don't know if that's just that might have been a lapse in concentration, though, might have just been poor coaching. I don't think, like, it was weird because Brady wouldn't give a direct answer afterwards as to like whether or not he actually knew it was fourth down. Like, they were like, "Did you know it was fourth down?" And he was like, "I should have gone for the first down and not just a chunk of yardage," which clearly means that he had no clue. And Bruce Arians, his coach, was trying to cover for him, being like, "Yeah, no, he knew it was fourth down. He did not know it was fourth down." That was more than obvious. So
I feel like if you did know it was fourth down, you could have easily been like, "Yeah, I know. And it wasn't a great play." And everybody would have been like, "Oh, well, you know, mistakes happen. Brady's Brady. Yeah. He's great, but you know, it happens." But he didn't admit to it.
Yeah. He hasn't won every fourth quarter game winning drive. Like, you know, okay. But I take that back. That's a terribly phrased sentence. He has won every fourth quarter game winning drive that he is conducted, but he's but he has not won he's not won every game in the fourth quarter. Like, you know, we've seen in the, you know, in the playoffs last year, I think he tried to come back and he threw a pick six to end, like, as his last pass as a Patriot. He threw a pick six when he's trying to come back against the Titans in the first round. So, you know, it happens, but it was fun for me, and I think it was fun for all fans of football to see him screw up like that.
Yeah. I got a lot of messages from my Pats friends and they were like, "What's going on? Oh my God." Like, some of them are happy. Some of them are just like not great fans. And they were like happy to see Brady do not great somewhere else. I was like, wow, real, real loyal. But I don't know. It definitely stirred up the football community. It definitely stirred up Pats fans and Bucks fans and Browns fans. I want to say like, "Oh, poor Brady," but at the same time, you know, it happens. This is a sport, you know, mistakes happen. I'm not going to like ostracize him for it.
Yeah. But even like on the other side, so much of the attention is paid to Brady, but how about Nick Foles? I mean, leading the charge for the Bears, and come on. I mean, he's 2-0 now against Brady, I think, all time in his career, which is pretty cool to say. And then even some other older guys showing out. I mean, Jimmy Graham had something of a catch before in the game, and that guy, I don't even know he was still in the league, and he scores a big touchdown. So.
Dude, that catch by Graham was insane. It was a one-handed catch in the end zone with, I think, pass interference. I'm not sure if they called that, but it was unbelievable. Nick Foles, honestly, he should retire. He really should retire and end undefeated against Tom Brady. That is absolutely, I think that's
a great career.
Eli Manning wasn't he 2-0 against Brady? Was that also the case? That's the best case scenario as a football player. 2-0 against Brady in the Super Bowl. Like, that is, you're not going to like surpass that at all, ever. That will never be beaten. So I think Nick Foles should retire because that's the closest he's come. Like, yeah. And for the Bears. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, that's playing nuts.
Playing for the Bears and winning against Tom Brady is basically like winning a Super Bowl against Tom Brady, because no one expected the Bears to win. So I think that's some level of comparison.
Also, I mixed up Bears and Browns. That's my bad, but holy cow. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, it's fine. I mean, they both suck, but they're both good this year. It's like, you know, they both are terrible.
Yeah. They're both like surprise. They're the Miami Marlins of football.
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. Oh my God. So that's what happened to Brady last night. There's another type of nightmare that's been going on.
Oh, Tennessee. Oh, Tennessee. Mike, I want to hear your thoughts on this first, actually.
Let me tell you something. I'm actually high on Tennessee. I traded for Derrick Henry in my fantasy league, gave away two scrubs. for Derrick Henry. So, pending he doesn't have COVID. You know, in the Titans camp right now, this morning, as of 8 a.m., as of almost 2 hours ago, there's been no positive cases, no new positive tests and cases in the Tennessee camp or the New England camp. So that's a reassuring sign. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, in coming days, more could pop up, but that at least, you know, has me confident in them.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing was they basically, they had some positive tests and then they broke protocol because they weren't isolating. Right. And they just practiced, on some field, not at their facility. Cause their facility
I heard they had like an unofficial practice.
Yeah. So they could actually get, apparently they're not going to forfeit. Although teams are literally calling for them to forfeit. I don't think forfeiting is necessary. I think punishment is probably going to come in some sort of like fine.
I think the only legitimate argument, or not the only, but a good argument for asking them to forfeit is that because this was an informal practice, who are you going to fine personally? Like, you can fine the organization and that hurts, but I think if you really want to get a message across, you have to start fining players. And if you want to start fining players at an unofficial practice, you then have to like go through an investigation and talk to people like who was there. What were they doing? You know, you could just assume everyone was there and find them, but then people are going to be like, well, I wasn't there. I didn't do it, you know? And you can't, it's hard for you to, you know, ask a teammate to snitch on their own teammate that, you know, so I think the forfeit answer is one of those answers where the only reason it works is because it simplifies a complicated situation. I think that's the only real argument for why I think they should forfeit. And I understand why teams are calling for them to forfeit. But I think if you're the NFL and you're thinking, oh my God, how am I going to punish this? I think a forfeit might be the quickest way to just rip the Band-Aid off. It would definitely make Titans fans mad. It would definitely seem unfair, but sometimes it's just, I mean, the season's happening right now, whether you want it to happen or not. You know, if you're a Titans fan, the season's moving on. So, and I guess calling for a forfeit of a game is the quickest way to just be like, look, you messed up. We don't have time to do an investigation and punish people the right way, I guess. So this is just what's happening. And I'm sorry, but we got to keep moving on. This is, you broke protocol. This is your punishment.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that could definitely be, I mean, there's an argument to be made that that's a valid punishment. I'm interested to see what the NFL does because they have a history of being stupid at punishing people.
Yeah, Goodell gets clowned every once in a while.
Yep, or every all the time. So
yep.
we'll see how they deal with this. But since Ryan Tannehill was there, he's like the, you know, he's their leader, so he's their quarterback. Yeah, they're gonna have to impose something intense. And I saw Mike, I saw you added New York nightmare.
Yeah, so it's been a rough one. It's been very scary. You know, we thought, well, obviously we knew after Saquon went down, it was going to be a bumpy ride. But 0-4 now for the Giants and the Jets. The Jets, we could see. I think we all knew that they were going to we're going to tank. Especially now, not firing the OC Adam Gase. I mean, it's just blatantly tanking at this point. But the Giants. We're pretty confident on the season, you know, not with anything like a playoff hopes or anything, but at least, you know, a good effort, a good foot forward.
Yeah.
But Saquon's down now. Jones is struggling. 0-4, as I said before, haven't been able to get it done.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen.
I think I was reading somewhere that the Jets played. Maybe it was like an offensive lineman or somebody who was young, who's like maybe a rookie and had already like a shoulder injury or some kind of injury. All these details are very vague in my mind, but they played him and they knew he was injured. And so he like got even more injured. Yeah. He was definitely a lineman. He was even more injured. And it was clear to everyone that they should not be playing him. So then his mom tweeted out like, what the hell are you doing, New York Jets? And just like ripped them, which they deserved, because they have no player management skills whatsoever. So that's just
yeah. I know they've been talking about. Well, it's a question in the fan base where a lot of people think they should fire their head coach.
I agree. I think they should. I don't care. I'm not a fan anymore. I used to kind of be. And I always tell people, which is true, I stopped being a fan of the Jets once Geno Smith got punched in the face, which felt like the right time to disassociate. So, yeah.
Wait, so who's your team now, Skyler? I don't think we got any
Steelers clarity. Fan, right?
Steelers, yeah. Yeah. Steelers. Well, because, yeah, my dad's from Pittsburgh, so I'm a Steelers guy. But I used to
– Berg.
Yeah, well, it's insane. I can't imagine, like, oh my God, living in Pittsburgh, because that's everything for them. Like, that, like, the Steelers are everything for Pittsburgh. So, like, you know, I heard, like, on Sundays, basically, you're either at the game or you're home watching the game. Like, there was no society happening.
The entire Sunday economy revolves around football.
Pretty much. Beer sales definitely went up. That's nice. But yeah, so that's what's mostly been going on in the NFL. We got a big slate of games this weekend. Some of them like rescheduled, restructured because of COVID stuff. But the season's been, you know, it's been going pretty smoothly so far. So I'm excited to see, what happens next. With that, we are going to take a quick ad break and we will be right back.
No matter where I go, I insist on looking stylish and being comfortable. So I rely on the eye-catching menswear at Tropical Bros. They have everything I need. Happening Hawaiian shirts, snappy polos, and sharp swimsuits. So whether I'm swinging on the links, sunning by the pool, or sipping at the bar, I always look and feel my best. Stylish.
Gentlemen, find your style at TropicalBros.com. That's Tropical, BROS.com. First-time customers will receive 30% off with the code TROPICAL. Enjoy life in style. Tropical style.
All right. Awesome word from our sponsors at Tropical Bros. And I don't know, although this might be October and summer might be officially over, it's never too late to check out Tropical Bros gear. They do have some colder weather apparel. Use code Tropical Banter for 20% off your first purchase. And also, you know, bring it back to the Halloween conversation. You know, if you want to rock a surfer look, a creative and colorful surfer look, or just rock the tropical lifestyle for your Halloween, you know, grab some attention, grab some eyes. Tropical Bros is definitely a great place to do that. Highly recommend.
Let me say, Jake, it's getting cold up here in upstate New York. So you might want to take a nice vacation to sunny California or sunny Florida. And what better way to do it than to go in style?
Exactly.
So consider the deals that you got via Banter. Take your discount and head over to a sunny destination.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Go check it out. Really, really comfortable shirts. We all have one. They're absurdly comfortable. So they are very comfortable. Yeah. No, check it out. TropicalBros.com. Use the code Tropical Banter for 20% off your first purchase. That's TropicalBros.com. It's spelled exactly how you think it. It's not BROZE, not BROHYS. It's TropicalBros.com. Check it out, guys. All right. NHL Stanley Cup happened. Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. What do you guys think?
I didn't get to watch a lot of the games, unfortunately. I do need to start watching more hockey. Maybe next season is the season. I do typically lose a little bit of interest once the Rangers get out. But two Southern teams in the Stanley Cup performed well, had some overtime games, went to game six. And I don't know. Congrats to Tampa Bay. Dallas is a good team. They beat them. And it's a lot of those players, you know, especially with the NHL bubble, you know, like we've talked about bubbles in the NHL and the NBA. It's a hard thing to ask players to do this. You know, us as viewers take this for granted. You know, I'm a college kid living at home this semester. You know, I check Twitter all the time to get updates on this stuff. You know, it's just like a, you know, a Twitter thing. You know, it's like everything gets summed up in a tweet for me. I have that luxury. But, you know, shout out to these players for really suffering through, persevering through, and playing really well.
Yeah. Yeah. The Blackhawks goalie, I think, he got released. I think, he was their starter for a while. Mm-hmm. And yesterday I read an article, he was talking about how he left the bubble, cause he had some family stuff to deal with, but also like he said, the bubble was horrible and like, it's just mentally taxing. You know, I think, was it Jimmy Butler who said it about the NBA bubble too? We'll get to the NBA in a few, but, mm-hmm. The bubble is so mentally taxing. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's props to them for sticking it out, because it's really just the team with like the most mental fortitude. I mean, you know, these were two very good teams, and you know, it's the mental side of being able to handle the stress of the bubble and also just playing that many games. I think a lot of people had the Lightning in six. I think they came in as like one of the better teams. And so, and they were performing well throughout the playoffs. So I don't think anyone's really shocked that they took, they took the cup.
And I will say, like, we've given, sorry to cut you off there for a sec, but like when I remember at the beginning of the NBA bubble, we had a couple players speak out and kind of complain. And I will say, I don't want to necessarily walk back on what we said, but I do think that going through a bubble and being in a situation is something that I don't understand. So I like complaining and breaking the rules. Yes, that's not a good look for you, especially because you did choose to come here and you did choose to, you know, do something that's difficult. But it is also worth recognizing that, you know, you're in the bubble for a long time if you're a good team. You know, I guess the better teams have to stay in this situation longer. So that is also something worth noting. And so congrats to the Lightning. Congrats, Tampa Bay. Hopefully the Tampa Bay momentum stops at hockey.
yep.
But I do want to talk some Rangers news, some off-season good news, and some sad news as well. So the Rangers, as we talked before, somehow, some way, some miracle pulled off the number one overall pick, and they picked Alexis Lafreniere, like the biggest prospect. You know, everybody knew he was going to get picked over one. So it's rebuild time. This kid is supposed to be able, like, you know, be one of the big faces of hockey in the future. Great player, left wing. So I hope Alexis, you know, proves himself as a Ranger, and I'm definitely looking forward to watching him, his career start. But on the other side of the career, we had the king himself, Henrik Lundqvist. His contract was bought out and he is retiring. And look, I don't care. I'm shutting down this argument right now. Just because he didn't win a cup doesn't mean he's not one of the greatest goalies of all time. And I got him. I remember one of my biggest sports memories, live sports memories, my first one, was going to a Rangers game. I was probably 8 years old in Madison Square Garden. We were playing the Sabres. And I got, you know, Brandon Dubinsky scored with like 5 seconds in, and I went to celebrate, and I dropped my Eclair on my jersey and got chocolate everywhere, and it was a nightmare. But the most memorable part of that game was when Henry made a great save, and all, I think it's like 20 to 18,000 people screaming, Henry, you know, to an eight-year-old kid, that was absolutely amazing. And it still is amazing. So the king has retired. He's done so much for the city of New York. He's done so much for the Rangers as a team. I love him. Always will. Always have. Congrats on an amazing, amazing career, Henry. And we will miss you.
Yeah. Honestly, the only problem I have with that statement was the fact that you pronounced it Eclair instead of Eclair. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, you know, I've never been to a Rangers game, but obviously, like, you know, I live in New York, and that's just like whenever you go to Madison Square Garden, like that's your association, you know, because I mean, no one wants to associate the Knicks with anything.
Not so, right now.
So you'll see, like, you'll probably, if you go to a Knicks game, you'll probably still see more Rangers gear than Knicks gear. But yeah, Lundqvist is absolute legend, and just like the consistency for years is so difficult. Oh my god, I don't know how old the dude is.
Henry, I want to say he made his career in like, or he made his debut in like mid 2000s. I want to say like 2005.
He's 38 right now.
Yeah. I mean, what a like legend, not just because of the player he was, but the person he was. He will always be remembered. And I hope he sticks around, as, you know, he has a place in New York, obviously. So I hope he continues to shape the franchise that has shaped him and he has shaped his entire career. So
yeah, when you play for that long, you gotta stick with the sport. You gotta stick with the sport.
I mean, he will always be a Ranger. Retired or not, he will always be a Ranger.
Agreed. Agreed. So that is NHL news. This is moving on to this is probably, again, once this airs, things will already have gone down. But the NBA Finals Game 5, the Lakers on the brink of clinching a finals win, which this year would be fitting, especially given what happened with Kobe. This year would be fitting for them to take it. And I'm, you know, I'm obviously pulling for them. But we got game five tonight, and this has been, you know, the series has gotten much better as it's gone on. The first game is a blowout. The next couple of games, you know, the second game was a bit closer. Game three, obviously you had Jimmy Butler like go unconscious, drop 40, triple double.
Yeah, then, Jimmy buckets.
Insane. And the, you know, game four, even that was close right up until the end, with Anthony Davis's dagger with like a minute or so left. But what do you guys think about this, Mike? I know you have probably strong opinions on this.
I'm gonna say the Lakers win it tonight if Rondo and Caruso both have solid games off the bench. Rondo, I should say playoff Rondo. If playoff Rondo shows up, guy has had 96 assists this postseason, all off the bench. So yeah, talking about the Heat, Jake.
Yeah, so as I was saying earlier, this Heat team got really, really far, and I don't think anybody expects them to get this far. And because they are greatly exceeding expectations, they might still have a big offseason in the free agent market. And I've heard there's even talks of lowering the salary cap as well. So that means teams can go out and spend more while also paying players that they want a little bit less than normal. So look, I think if you're the Heat, great performance. Jimmy buckets is really shown up, and I don't expect them to go down without a fight, but this Lakers team is like getting one win against this Lakers team is a commendable, like, you know, performance in and of itself. So
without a doubt. Yeah. No, even I know you're probably going to talk about this, quick plug for the ILR Sports Business Society podcast. Mm-hmm. So, but Pat Riley was voted third highest ranking GM for the year. So he got some recognition there, but doing what he did with, you know, kind of a blank slate, I would say. No one expected the Heat to be in the finals, as you say.
Yeah.
And adding some key pieces, right? Crowder, he's got Olynyk. Well, Olynyk has been there, but Crowder and the other small forward, Iguodala,
yeah,
building around this team with the young talent like Harrow and obviously Butler and Bam Adebayo. So
yeah,
it's going to be another hot destination. I wouldn't be shocked in the next couple of years to see some more LeBron-esque decisions. You know, who knows who will show up in the Heat for years to come. But
yeah,
that's, you know, yeah, that's I think, like we said, you know, Lakers in five.
Yeah. Well, I think talking about the Lakers is also something that we should give them credit for, because I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't bring up LeBron's postseason performances and postseason numbers. I'm pretty sure he's like second all time in postseason games. He's first in minutes, I believe. Something like that. Not quite sure. I really don't know, but LeBron really like is a whole different, like, I don't really follow playoff basketball very well, but it is worth noting that LeBron has been to four NBA finals and has really, really been dominant wherever, whatever team he goes for, leading them into the postseason and leading them into a finals. He just has a lot of postseason and veteran experience and gravitas around him. And I think obviously he's a big reason as to why this Lakers team is where they are, but it's just, although this is something that anybody who follows basketball knows, it's just totally worth mentioning how, like, what he does for every team he's on, what he's doing for this Lakers team during a year where they lost a Lakers legend like Kobe Bryant, and during a year where they're in a bubble, and during a year where there's been a lot of social justice issues being brought up into the NBA, LeBron, not like, he took yet another step forward as a person, as a leader, and as a player. So I understand this is yet another sort of, like, you know, another, like, praising LeBron sort of thing, which is all over the basketball community. I guess this is nothing new, but it's still worth talking about.
For sure. For sure. And let's, you know, we're transitioning now from, you know, big finals. Let's talk about some big stuff in the Prem. We got big scores. We got big players, big moves. It's all soccer talk right now. So let's start off, Jake. Spurs against Man U. What a game this was.
Really? So I haven't been able to watch a lot of Prem games, but I've been following the standings. So talk to me about the game.
Well, let me just tell you, 6-1 Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's right. Okay, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
If you thought that was going to be the best crack of the day, though, you would be
Villa Liverpool, right? 7-2
7-2 man.
Oh my gosh.
Jack Grealish, have a day. He's one of the best English players, I think, in the Prem. I don't know how he's still playing for Aston Villa. Liverpool, man. What the heck? I think Firmino he's only scored 2 goals in the last 24 games. Mm. So he's got to get going because they have that Mane, Salah, Roberto Firmino, you know, front three.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of superstars who need to get going, well, James Rodriguez has been going. I mean, this guy is a man on a mission.
I can't believe Everton. Yeah, Everton is the only – so, wait, I believe Aston Villa is undefeated, but they've only played 3 games, I believe. Everton is undefeated through 4 games. They are the clear leader of the Premier League. And by clear, like, there's only been 4 games or 3 games per team, so it can only get so clear at this point. But – and I believe their next rival or their next game is Liverpool. I believe that's – so – a derby match, you have the returning champions in Liverpool facing
Merseyside. Yeah,
the Merseyside derby. Yeah, this is going to be a big, big weekend for the Prem. I know James Rodriguez came to Everton and everybody was just like, well, everybody sort of assumed that the best of James's career was behind him. But I mean, I think he came to the Prem and wanted to prove something because he has been a big part of this Everton team along with their young core. Really, really proving that, I mean, a middle of the pack team for the past 3-4 years is just showing up. That's what I love about the Prem, you know, with the beginning of every season. I remember back in like 2016-17, Leicester, you know, this is a team that like was pretty much in relegation conversations if they were in the Premier League in years past, and then they ended up winning it, you know? So although soccer is often criticized for having, you know, dynasty-like teams that are always sort of in the top five. These past couple years have proved that there are teams that will just show up and really get heat moving and hot streaks, and it's fun to watch.
Of course, yeah. Perfect reference with the 5,000-1, I think, odds for Leicester to win the Prem season that they did. But, you know, speaking of underdogs, let's talk about our Gunners, man. So, Gunners have been spending, they spent a lot of money in the transfer window, but I think they mismanaged a little bit. This comes at the recent happening of Gunnersaurus. So Gunnersaurus, our team mascot, big green dinosaur in an Arsenal kit, can't get much better than that. Unfortunately, no longer with us due to the lack of fans with COVID.
Yeah,
we decided to do away with Gunnersaurus. Only to, like, minutes later spend tens of millions of euros on signing this new guy, Thomas Partey.
Yeah.
Partey.
Partey.
no Partey without Gunnersaurus, though.
Yeah,
so I'm a little
point.
Upset. There has been a petition and online fundraiser to bring back the dinosaur. So we'll see if we can get him back. And I'd love to see the mascot make a return, hopefully, when fans can come back to the stadium. I know the Emirates is a lively atmosphere, speaking for myself, because I've been there before. But also just really quickly about fundraisers. Mm-hmm. Mesut Ozil, doing a really nice thing, philanthropic endeavor. He has this new sneaker line, but all the profits, I think, are going to charity, which is very noble of him and pledging that initiative, and obviously a big name and sense of style. You know, I think Ozil's got some cool style.
Not as much as
Xhaka, maybe, or like Bellerin, but
yeah, good point.
Nonetheless.
I like Ozil because I've always heard commentators say like Ozil or Ozil, but I like him because he is, despite having some seasons where he's been better, some seasons where he's exceeded or fell below expectations, he's always been a club kind of guy. He's always been a genuine player, a leader, showing veteran presence. So I think that this is something that we should really take into account with, you know, Ozil's performance as a person and a player. But I do think we should quickly transition. I think we're getting Skylar back as well. If we want to quickly talk about some MMA before people have to dip.
Skylar, good to have you back, man. We were just finishing up our NBA and soccer talk. But really quickly, I'm going to give you one last punch of the morning. I'm going to talk about this guy, Israel Adesanya. If you don't know who he is, you better know who he is. Guy's
3-0,
9-0 in the UFC. Absolute beast. teased around with this guy, Paulo Costa, who looked like to be a beast, made him look like he was in middle school, second round win, last fight out. And now he's talking smack. He's talking smack to my man, shout out to Long Island, Chris Weidman, and also shout out to Ithaca, you know, Johnny Bones Jones. He's been talking smack to both of those absolute
graduated stuff. From my high school.
Yeah. So remains to be seen what arguably like the next face of the UFC is going to do. Israel Adesanya. Don't forget the name. Speaking of faces of the UFC, I'll pass it over to Skyler making his return.
Yeah. So Conor McGregor has retired, I think, at this point, like probably about 90 or 400 and something times. definitely one of those. And come back out of retirement every time because of the money. You know, I can't blame him. I can't blame him at all. He's making good money. He made a lot from that Mayweather fight, which that like 10 seconds of that fight would like be enough to support his great grandchildren for life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hey, so, dough is a powerful motivation to come out of retirement.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's why Mayweather kept doing it.
Yeah.
McGregor is going to fight Poirier. I don't even know this dude's first name, but I know they're going to fight. And it's probably going to be pretty sick. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. McGregor is constantly getting like arrested and stuff. And when he's not getting arrested, he's making commercials for his whiskey.
Yeah.
So I saw one recently.
I love seeing him on TV. I don't follow fighting at all, just to be straight up. But I just love, like, I know who Conor McGregor is from his, you know, marketing. You know, say what you will about him as a person, as a guy. Dude knows how to fight, and dude's pretty funny on his commercials. So.
Yeah, he's definitely a good personality. I love watching him just speak. I think the Irish accent is fun to listen to.
That's a fact.
But yeah, it should be interesting that he's coming back. And I don't know too much about fighting, but I can say I'll probably be watching because there's not much else to do right now. My excuse,
dude. That's what I've been we talked about this in the break, how it's so weird being a sports fan, as you know, like in our situation where, you know, online learning is happening at the same time. I always keep telling, especially because I'm at home, I keep telling my dad, like, hey, you want to watch this game? He'd be like, don't you have work? I'd be like, okay, I can pretend to do both, you know. I will say that when the game gets exciting, I will not hesitate to just put my laptop down and stand up. And, you know, if it's a big at bat or something like that, or a big play. But yeah, it's such a weird experience. I definitely think, like, we talked about how ESPN during like the heart of the pandemic really started covering just random sports. And us as sports consumers were like actually watching it because we had nothing to do as well, you know?
Exactly.
So I think this is a crazy time for sports in general. There's so many different X factors look at the NFL, look, you know, right. MLB had outbreaks. And I just think that this is a moment, this is a year for the history books, regardless of sports. But I think that when, if you look back at all sports in 2020, everybody's going to have something to say about it. And I think that's something that, like, we should sort of savor this while we're here, if that makes sense. Despite crappy, you know, with COVID and a pandemic, despite, you know, mental health problems all over the place because of a terrible situation, this has been a special year for sports.
Yeah, I think it's surreal. And I think that's definitely a point worth making, that we probably will never see anything like this again. Mm-hmm. And we have to appreciate the fact that we're still able to have sports, because to us, it, as bystanders, it probably seems easy to be like, okay, well, you just put them up in a hotel room and they're away from their families and they're safe. Like, it is so much more nuanced than that. Mm-hmm. There's so many more people involved. And I think, kudos to all the sports for kind of sticking it out.
And like we said earlier, especially with sports that are in a bubble, like the MLB playoffs are now in a bubble, and some sports have, you know, when they came back, were automatically into a bubble. The longer, like, the better you perform, the more you put yourself through. So I think that, especially because people want to use the pandemic and weird like season, weird situations as a way to sort of make an excuse. And while that I'm not saying, okay, maybe not excuse in certain situations, but like, while I understand this is a crazy year and that, you know, this is different, it's different for everybody. And I think it says even more if you are able to succeed as a player, as an organization, and as a person in a year like this. And I think that if you can, I think an argument stands for, if you can do well in this year, you can do well in any year.
I agree. And my last note on that is, you know, in talking to some people here up at school who are, you know, teams are starting to kind of be able to practice, like have small gatherings and practice again, like they're starting to allow that. I think the teams that will compete or be competitive and ultimately like compete for probably a national championship in any sport are the teams that can mentally handle this time the best with having limited practice time slots, with having limited equipment, limited opportunities. The people who are able to maximize those and also have their own like motivation to get stuff done and to practice and to, you know, increase their athletic abilities and however they can, are going to be the best teams in the NCAA for whatever respective sport they're playing.
I'm speaking of NCAA, I know we have to wrap up soon, but I miss Cornell sports so much.
Same.
The show, like, we appreciate the listeners who are still here with us for the show and are just have been with us in general for the show, because we know that this has been a roller coaster ride. You know, this, you know, we went from a show that was, you know, the lifeblood of our show was recording at a Cornell studio and talking Cornell sports, talking about an amazing experience we had at a hockey game or covering like a track meet or a lacrosse game. That was the lifeblood of this show for a while. And, you know, we've adapted and I still have fun with the show. It's still the highlight of my week every single time. Oh, by the way, shout out to Christopher Morales. We have to get that in here.
Former GM Christopher Morales.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I still think that when Cornell sports come back, this show is going to just mean even more than it already does to me, because, oh man, I talking Ivy League sports, I'm getting more and more involved in Ivy League baseball and other Ivy League sports for other things. And it's just the anticipation and seeing, you know, motivational factors where sports doing well in other areas of, you know, the world and other areas of the sports world. Oh man, it's the anticipation's building. And I think I'm feeling incredibly optimistic. I know that's not something that'll last, but right now, man, ride the high.
Absolutely. And I'm proud of the way that Cornell's been handling COVID, because we are doing really well, low numbers, and it's probably going to allow us to have more opportunities to play sports. And if other schools can like step up and have that same kind of thing, I don't think there's any reason why we can't figure out a way to have some winter sports or at least spring sports for sure.
Oh yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And I think that is a fun, optimistic, nice note to end this episode.
Yeah, I think this is a great way to end the episode. And thank you again to all our viewers and listeners. And I'm going to stick with tradition, despite being in a different town and despite wanting to keep 6 feet and be safe. If you see me around, I owe you a high five.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is retroactive to the spring and can be used at any time. same with me. I usually dap people up, but again, from a distance, I'll air five you. I mean, I really, there's no shame anymore. I will air five you and own it.
I will be up in Ithaca at some point. We've talked about visits. I will be up and the vibes will be immaculate. I'm counting on it.
Yes. Immaculate vibes is the thing that everyone says these days. That's where we're going to end it. Check us out everywhere, social media. I'll put the thing at the end of this episode saying where to go if you want to learn more about us. But we appreciate everyone listening. Stay safe and enjoy the weather that hopefully you'll have tomorrow, because that's when this is airing.
Yeah. Enjoy the fall, guys. This is a great time of year. See you guys
later.
Make sure to check out our social media accounts at WVBR FM Sports on Instagram and Twitter, and also check out our written content on WVBR.com/sports.